like that, you can press star 6 and mute yourself out. Then if you want to talk at the press star 6 again. All right, so we have a few people maybe on the call who are new, and if you are, I welcome you. This is the A-Team call. This is Marlon Sanders. Those of you who are not, did not know this, last week I had quadruple hernia surgery. I didn't know you could have, it was physically possible to have a quadruple hernia. And what's worse is, like, I actually felt no pain. It's just I obviously had a hernia. So I had this operation. I'm still, like, recovering some. That's why I didn't want to walk upstairs. Mentally, though, I'm okay. Mike Patold, are you on, Mike?
Yes,
Mike,
sir,
are you on?
I am.
All right, Mike's here. Nancy, are you on? Nancy show up this week? All right. Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to talk here. I was just checking to see if I caught. We have some more regulars. I was just going to talk. I'm going to talk here like I normally do at the beginning of these calls about a couple issues that are on my mind that I think will be relevant to you. The way these calls works these are not like some kind of systematic call. These are things I try to get people unstuck every 2 weeks. I try to be a catalyst, try to give you some insider direction. And you never know what you're going to get on these calls. It's something different every time. And I like it that way. I hope my customers do. It's just a reflection of my consciousness at that point in time. And I think that offers value to at least certain people. So I'm going to go ahead and do a little soliloquy here while I talk, present some information and ideas, and then we'll come back. I'll talk to some of you individually. I'll see where you're at, see if any of you are stuck, if I can help you get unstuck. All right, so first of all, let's talk about the calls themselves. I would say there's like a 95% probability I'm going to raise the price of the A-Team calls to basically $100 a month. The reason is we're charging 37 or something like that. I don't remember, 37 or 47 a month, and people don't show up. I mean, because we have a pretty decent number of A-Team members. So it's like, my feeling is if people don't show up for the calls, I ain't charging enough. That's the way I look at it as a marketer. Like, people don't appreciate or value what they get for free or what they get for cheap. And sometimes to make them value it, you've got to make them pay for it. So I don't mind making people pay for it. I make more money. The only reason I was charging less was two reasons. One is I felt that our persistency would make up for what we lost in terms of upfront conversions. And I'm not sure that assumption is true. Again, people don't value what they don't pay for. And it's a great lesson, by the way, to learn as a marketer. I thought it would be easier to sell people into the calls. And honestly, I'm not sure it's any easier to sell people into a $37 call than it is a $97 call or a $100 call. So you really don't gain much on that. So basically, I'm telling you that I see every reason in the world to raise our prices to $100. And no reason whatsoever to keep them at the current rate. That begs the question of what do I do with existing, or what will I do with existing customers and subscribers? I have two schools of thought on this. One school of thought is that for the people who are here live on the calls, I'm going to, like, get out a special code, coupon code, that will not be on the recordings, and reward people who actually show up. I may do that. The other thing I may do is just put it on the call where the people can hear, who are hearing the recordings, will also get it if they listen to it, and reward the people who at least listen to the calls. Those are the options. And my other option is I may just grandfather everybody who's in right now, and everybody new who comes in will have to pay the $100 a month, and if you're already in, you will be. I don't know if I'm going to do it that way or not, though, because I want people on the calls. So anyway, that's just my current – I'm just giving you a little advance notice and my current thinking. I will, though, at minimum, I think I'm going to try to make some kind of exception or grandfathering, at least for a reasonable period of time, for the people who have been on the calls and who have been loyal to this process. Now, a couple things on my mind this week. One of them I just sent out an email this morning about, something I feel really strongly about. I feel people are stupid and don't, not that they're stupid, they're uneducated and don't get it. Again, if you're new to the call, this is a little bit of an advanced topic, so forgive it. I tend to cover all kinds of things on the call. So you have access to the back recordings. If you don't know where those are, just contact him at getyoursupport.com. Tell him you need access to the back 18 calls, and you can hear the back calls. Some of our calls are newbie. It just is my mood of that point in time. The topic today is not so high. Topics today are not so hyper-advanced, but neither are they brand new newbie topics. You know, if you're just trying to figure out your target market and everything, today may not be the greatest call in the world for you, but everything helps. Every bit or piece of valuable quality information that you get in the long run helps you build your business successfully. The thing I want to talk about today is positioning. And what I mean by positioning is who you are as a product and who you are as a person. Your product has an identity, and you have an identity. And I sent out an email today. If you come across, okay, which would you pay more money for? An original, we'll put this in terms for those of you who have wives or significant others that you shop for. Would your wife, spouse, significant other, or you if you're female, would you pay more for an original Versace or for a Versace that's a copy? Would you pay more for the original Gucci or the Gucci that's a copy? Guys, same thing. Would you pay $1,500 for a pair of new Gucci shoes? Well, maybe or maybe not. Maybe ain't any way you're paying that no matter what the shoe. But if you were going to pay it, would you pay the $1,500 for a pair of real Guccis, or would you pay the $1,500 for a pair that almost look like real Guccis? You know, if I'm going to pay $1,500 for a pair of shoes, it better be Gucci. It better be the real deal. I don't want the fake for $1,500. By implication, if it ain't the real deal, if it's a copy, if it's not the original thing, it has less value. So why would you ever want to position yourself as being a copy of someone or something else? Or a knockoff, or a lookalike. Why would you ever want to do that? I just think it's a dumb marketing move. Because the best you ever become is almost something else but not. It's like, what if you opened up coffee shops that look like Starbucks? They had green, they had a logo, they were almost Starbucks, but really it ain't Starbucks. You know, if you were a low-priced coffee, real low price, and you were trying to hijack the premium image of Starbucks, it might would make sense. But if you were doing that, you wouldn't be opening a cappuccino shop because there's no profit. I seriously doubt there's any profit in a low-priced cappuccino coffee shop. You can't afford to be open for business because of the time it takes to create a cup of cappuccino. So the point of this soliloquy is be yourself. Be original. Don't be a copy. Now, some people, new to the business, it's very natural to copy other people when you come into the business. When I came into the business way back in 19-whatever, when I say came into the business, I mean, I can't really say that because I've been in the business, I started really in 1978 in direct response marketing. But in whatever it was, 89, 90, 91, I bought a course by Jay Abraham that had a very heavy influence on my life. It was a $5,000 course. It was a protege course. Nowadays, the methods in there and techniques are like old hat, but at the time, it was all like just mind-blowing. You know, USP, nobody ever talked about unique selling proposition. Marginal net worth of the customer, never heard of it. Lifetime value of the customer, never heard of it. You know, yeah, host parasite, or what we call today endorsed mailings, no one ever heard of it before. But so I tried to be Jay Abraham when I wrote sales letters, which is really a stupid thing to do, because Jay uses these really big words and often in grammar that isn't exactly correct. But it's Jay, and it just works for him. It's like he's persuasive as a person as you'll ever meet, right? So I tried to be that in sales letters for a while, which is just dumb. I mean, eventually I found my own style, and I think there is some of that that's natural when you're starting out. You study copywriting by John Carlton. You try to be John Carlton. But as soon as you can, you want to find your own tune, find your own who you are. And a guy I gave an example of in today's email who did a great job of that was Lee McIntyre at lee-mcintyre.com. So Lee was a school teacher just 2 years ago. He made $7,000 plus his first month in internet marketing. Quit his school teacher job, never to return again. And I believe he's going to be doing $70,000 this month. But, I mean, from day one, if you watch Lee's stuff or read his blog, which, you know, his blog is still there, all the old videos and old products are still there. You know, you never read or watch his video and go, oh, there's some dude trying to be Frank Kern. There's some dude trying to be Mon Sanders. There's some dude trying to be Evan Pagan. There's some dude trying to be Jeff Walker. It's no doubt who you're watching. You're watching this. It's funny because Lee, like, plays up his uniquenesses. So he's in UK, and he talks about, oh, I'm getting ready to go to the pub, or I'm going to go this weekend and watch some footy, which I guess is their equivalent of football, which is really soccer, what we call soccer in the U.S. here. But he does these little things, and so it's like it makes him unique, and just the way he does his videos, the way he does it, it's Lee. It's not someone else. That's Lee, right? He had his own persona and identity from day one. That's what I want to encourage you to do. Don't shy away from being yourself. Be bold about being yourself, but be smart about being yourself. And the example I gave in the email today, and it's not that I think the world of Frank Kern. Frank's one of the most talented, if not as talented as an internet marketer as exists, or persuasive. I don't know, internet marketer. Probably the better word is the talent is a persuasive marketer that exists. He really is a master of mass media and mass, what he calls mass control. So anyway, Frank does these videos where he does multiple locations, which is actually a hypnotic technique that you use multiple locations, and it builds rapport. And he got it from hypnosis, and he also got it because he used to sell in the pickup artist market, and it's something that people know about. Multiple locations builds rapport. So anyway, Frank does these videos of him in a car and then at different locations. And you see all these people trying to do or doing these videos, but like not nearly as well as Frank does them because he has a heck of a lot of TV or camera charisma. It's his forte, right? And so you see these people, and the very first thing you think is, oh, there's somebody else trying to be like Frank, wanting to be like Frank. Or someone gave him a guitar, a famous copywriter named John Carlton, gave him a Cinemark signed guitar. So Frank makes a video about it, shot very high-end, pro-quality lighting, great sound, killer editing, totally awesome video. And like yesterday I saw somebody, and the whole point of the video was about his credibility, not that he could play guitar. The point of the video was about his credibility because this famous person paid homage and sent him a guitar that was signed. So I saw somebody else just today or yesterday had a video online of them playing guitar, using it to market their internet marketing. It's like they totally and completely missed the point. They're just like, they didn't get it. Nobody wants to hear you play guitar if you're not any good. They just did not get the point of it. So that's one of the problems is when you copy somebody else, sometimes you just miss what the real point is because you don't get it, right? Well, the same thing goes about personality styles, like Dan Kennedy. Some people have tried to copy or be Dan Kennedy. Fortunately, not that many because Dan's rather gruff and it's kind of hard to describe Dan's style. But it's like if you're not Dan and you try to be Dan, it's going to be a serious mistake. And even if you are like Dan, trying to be Dan is probably a mistake, right? And in the past, I'm sure there were people who tried or wanted to be me, or there's definitely were tons of websites like mine and tons of other things like mine, and I can't even tell you the number of people that have named their company very similar to mine and so forth, right? Well, these things are all well and good, and it's part of the maturation and the growing process. But as soon as you can, you want to get to the point where you're you. You are the you in the word unique. Ain't anybody else ever going to be you. There's only one of you. And so the best thing that you can do is be uniquely you. Because you are the differentiation. You differentiate yourself by who you are, the experience that you bring to the table, the background that you have, the stories you have to tell. All of those things are part of who you are, make up who you are, and make up part of the value that you offer to your customers. So even if you could be a Frank Kern, even if you could be a Jeff Walker, even if you could be someone else, you don't want to be. You want to be you. I'll also say that if you're going to copy somebody, you better do a good job of it. Like, I think of one of my friends who tried to do a Frank Kern-esque video recently, sans or minus the Frank Kern quality lighting, which is pretty much pro quality lighting or darn near it, at least very good quality lighting. And he did something with really not good quality lighting, and I thought it made him look like crap. Certainly does enhance your credibility. If you're young and you're really good looking, then you can get away with bad light, you know. If you're not young or you're not genetically gifted, in my opinion, you know, get the nice lighting. Go ahead. Splurge. The nice lighting, they're called light boxes, and you can buy them from tubetape.com, and you can buy, I think, two of them for $350. And that's all you need are two good light boxes for indoor shoots. For outdoor shoots, I believe there's a different kind of lighting that's required. I'm not an expert on video. We use the two light boxes from tubetape.com. We bought them for $350.
Say that again. From who, Marlon?
Tube, T-U-B-E, tape, T-A-P-E.
Thanks.
All right. So that's kind of my soliloquy. I have one other thing to talk about, which is about getting traffic. For many years, I got my traffic through my affiliate program. And then you've heard me talk about on prior calls some affiliate traffic. We still get quite a bit of it, but not what we used to. So I've been looking or searching for some other traffic methods. But really, our affiliate program is our thing. And I was talking to my friend Lee McIntyre. And it's kind of ironic because sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees, and that includes me. At least I'm honest enough to admit it. So the issue I had to some degree with my affiliate program, see, I thought in my mind all the product launch stuff had changed the dynamics of the affiliate market because I really felt that affiliates just went into promoting the product of the day. And to some degree, a lot of them have, and that is true. However, what Lee pointed out to me is just that if you really build a great sales funnel and a sales process with your upsells and your downsells and your recurring billing and other stuff, so that your affiliates can make just as much or more money from you on a continual basis than they do promoting the product launch of the week, then you got a pretty good shot that they're going to promote you. So you know what? Here's how I describe what happened. Product launches changed the visitor value because they convert at a higher rate than normal sales letters normally. So they changed the dynamics of visitor value, and all that was really required was just really a tweaking your sales process to stay up with the visitor value. Because, in other words, visitor value, that's the total value of the sale at the point of purchase, and then subsequent follow-up sales. The initial product purchased, if there's a second product sold, we call that an upsell, if it's more expensive. If people don't buy that and then they're offered a cheaper version of it, then we call that a downsell. So you got upsells and you got downsells. You have OTOs, one-time offers. There's different terminology. Or basically, it means this. They buy a product, and then they're offered more stuff they can buy. And after they bought all that stuff, you total that up, and that's the immediate visitor value, and the resellers typically get 50% of that. And there may be recurring billing on a monthly basis for a membership or something. There may be other juice in there. My point is, it really just comes down to affiliate marketing hasn't changed. It's still just about the visitor value. And bottom line is, how much do affiliates make per click when they send someone to you? If you're not competitive, you're going to lose traffic. We still get a lot of traffic, but we don't get the traffic we used to, and it's because I became not as competitive in terms of my visitor value. Solution is not hard. Solution is you split test the living crap out of your sales letters and your sales process. You add in some upsells and downsells, and you just focus on it. You just work at it. It's not hard. It's time-consuming. Like, split testing isn't just something that you go, oh, my God, I get to split test today. it's not really, you know, that kind of a thing. But it's just focus and some energy and effort and problem solved. So I wanted to share that insight. It's actually a very simple but very big insight. Basically, it's all just comes down to making your affiliates money, more money than somebody else is going to make them. If you're in niches, you don't have to worry about this so much because there's not that much competition for affiliates, typically. Where this becomes an issue is something of a space like internet marketing where there's a lot of competition for affiliates. All right, that's my little soliloquy, and I can talk more if nobody has anything to say, but if you have things to say or you are stuck and need unstuck, then we'll try to help you. If you do speak during the call, you give me permission, you use sound, likeness, quality, your voice in perpetuity, worldwide without royalty, recompense. Much participation makes everything worthwhile. All right. Who has a comment, feedback, or reaction to anything I just talked about? Anyone? If you muted yourself before, you have to press star 6 to unmute yourself. All right, Mike, what you got?
I actually read you. I figured that this would be your soliloquy today after reading your email earlier, and it really resonated with me, and it was that way, and that too often I've tried to be somebody that I'm not, and every time I do, it blows up in my face.
Yeah, because why would you want to? Like, even if you could, Mike, why would you want to, see? Because it's just bad positioning. All you become is someone trying to be, he's doing a really good job of looking like Gucci's, but they still ain't Gucci's.
Oh, I agree 100%, but I thought it was a very, it was one of the biggest mistakes I made for a while.
Everyone does it. My God, I've tried to be Gary in the past when I was learning to write copy. This is years ago, but. God, I tried a lot, right? Like Gary Halbert, John Carlton, Jay Abraham, goodness knows, Joe Carbo. And part of that's a maturation process, but it's a really good thing to get through because, you know, people value uniqueness. I also say, Mike, on the visitor value thing, you know, I know you're getting your traffic things in place. Make sure that for your affiliates, you know, you split test the crap out of whatever funnel you have your affiliate sending traffic to, and then you get a really good, solid, rock-solid in-place visitor value. Because, I mean, if affiliate promotes you once and it doesn't convert, you probably don't get a second chance.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, the problem I had was, see, I've got to change how we're doing things because I kept coming out with all these products. I have affiliates promote the new products. Problem is that on the new products, I wasn't really getting a really great funnel in place. So the visitor value was still not as good as, say, they would get on maybe something else. It really just comes down to how much do they make for every click they send you, you know? You either compete or you don't compete. All right, who else has a question or a comment? Feedback. You better have comments or feedback or I'll tell you about my operation. You really don't want to hear about that.
Marlon, this is Jim Fortune.
Hey, Jim, what's up?
Same old stuff. I can identify with what your comments are, except I've always tried to create my own voice. I've always tried to, I have a different voice, and it's not like other people's, and so it's really hard for me to sound like somebody else because it always comes out as I've tried it one or two times, and it's always after you read it, it sounds phony. So I never liked the way it sounded. So I just go on with being me. And I think everybody has to come to that realization themselves. Some people find out sooner, some people later. So it's
Well, let me take this one step further, Jim, since you're already down this path. Not only then do you find your unique voice, but once you find your unique voice, you want to create branding around your unique voice. And it's weird for a direct response marketer to talk about branding, but branding could be many things. And I'll show you what I mean. Like, Lee has really gone to using absolute minimalistic sales videos and a minimalistic approach with almost no graphic design. But if he does that look and feel consistently, you know, it really does become a brand. Although I'm personally an advocate for having some logos and some branding of your experience, the customer's experience of you and who you are. So whether it's having a unique and interesting cartoonization of yourself created, or whether it's using some kind of something that's a little unique or reflects your individual personality or USP in videos or screen capture videos or your products or your covers. I think that there's some thought that goes into then how. So here's who I am, and here's what I stand for. Here's what I'm about. Now, how can I support that graphically so it gets the message best across to customers and creates a consistent and a trustworthy kind of look and feel? And, you know, the prime example of doing this, I mean, people that just did it flawlessly is the Rich Dad, Poor Dad. The series of books and their graphics. You know, I couldn't give a better example of it. Also, the whole line of the Dummies books, they got the little cartoon dummy, and they always use the yellow and black colors. If you look at their website, it fits in with their books. I think they've just done a spectacular job of it also. So it's just something for you to put some thought into of, okay, so now you have this look and feel, and can you maybe take that one step further? Can you maybe extend that USP a little bit further down the line in a way that it resonates with your customers? It's important that it really, however you do it, resonates with your customers in your target audience. Does that make sense, Jim?
Yep.
All right. Who else has questions or comments? Nancy, are you on today?
I am.
No?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. Do you relate to this at all or no?
Yeah, one of the little things I keep in front of me all the time is be yourself. Everyone else is taken. And I try to remember that when I'm writing things. You know, the truth is a lot of times we run into, like if we go over to e-zine articles and read articles, there's not a lot of different voices.
Right.
Too often they all sound like the same voice. And
right.
Even my natural state, I tend to be quite colorful, which some people find offensive. So I try to find
a balance.
I
think that's good. I may tone it down a little, but there's nothing wrong with offending some people, Nancy, because you can't please everybody. All you're doing is identifying your target audience.
Yeah, I guess that's exactly right. Thanks for that. That's exactly
Well, like, let me point out, it's got to relate to your target market, Nancy, and I'll point this out. We'll go back to my friend Lee McIntyre. So Lee talks about going to the pub in London and having a beer. Now, I might put, for people who are come from a certain religious background, that's going to be they're going to find that very offensive, right?
Right.
But Lee's trying to, you know, at the same time, the worst thing he could do is just be a blank wall. Wouldn't offend anyone, but wouldn't interest anyone either.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like he's trying to self-select a different kind of customer. Not that he's some profane individual or bad person or drunk alcoholic or something. It's just that he's in Europe and London, a little bit different environment than the United States, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it means something kind of different there than it does here.
and so forth. I'm not even defending. I'm just saying this is why Lee does it. Or I might point out, like, the UFC is, a lot of you probably don't watch it, but it's called Ultimate Fighting Championship, but it's called Mixed Martial Arts. Well, you know, they appeal to a young demographic. So, like, the way they do the graphics on the show and their choice of, say, terminology in the shows and the way they present things, you know, the fights can be a little bit bloody sometimes. You know, they're appealing to a really specific demographic, and people that aren't in that demographic, you know, are going to be turned off. But the people who are in their demographic are going to really, really, really love them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I, you know, but now I don't think you want to be. There is a line. Now I'll point this out. Like Dan Kennedy, sometimes in his newsletter, will make comments from a very, like, almost hyper conservative political point of view. Like where you'll read it and you'll go, like, I'm, you know, a lot of people would probably read and go, why? And why are you bringing this up in a marketing newsletter? The reason Dan does that is real savvy, because he knows that most of your entrepreneurs come from a pretty conservative political background. I don't know why, but this is pretty much a fact. So he's self-selecting his demographic.
Yeah, a light just went on.
Right.
So I want to attract people that will relate to me for...
I mean, on occasion, he will send out something that's almost deliberately offensive because it's part of his USP, part of who he is this guy who's a little gruff and blah, 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 right? And he doesn't want people who are, quote, too sensitive on his list. He just doesn't want them. So he deliberately tries to piss him off and get him off his list. Because that's not who he wants as a customer. Like, they ain't going to be happy with his products. They ain't going to like the seminars. They ain't going to like anything about Dan. Like, they're going to go there and complain when they're hard-sold, and he doesn't want those people. So he just weeds them out.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's really not my style, you know. I'm much more reserved than that. But all I'm saying is you know, you kind of got to be true to who you are. You know, like, okay, Matt Fury, another email copywriter you may be aware of. You know, Matt's real conservative politically like Dan is. We'll talk about that, and then he'll also kind of talk about things from his kind of macho viewpoint of the world, which if I was a world kung fu winner, I probably would also. You know, I not only am I not world kung fu, you know, champion, you know, I'm probably lucky to be able to work out at the gym, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I can't write in Matt's voice, but it makes me chuckle sometimes to read Matt, because I know when he says some things that kind of make you raise an eyebrow, he's trying to self-select his audience.
Yeah. I read Matt.
You do? Then you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm on his list, so I read him.
He's certainly colorful.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Both of the examples.
It's not for everyone, but if you think about Matt's audience, a lot of them are fighters and wrestlers, right? Do they want to read some mealy-mouthed, unopinionated person? Huh, they're fighters. Come on.
Yep.
All right, who else has an insight, question, or comment?
Both of the examples that you gave, one with the cartoon character and one with the fighter character, both of those have been used by Jim Edwards. He's not using the cartoon character any longer, but those are probably some examples that Jim Edwards uses the Friday Night SmackDown.
Jim really did a great job with the Friday Night SmackDown. Jim has no problems branding himself or being unique. But he's a great example of how to do it. Like, there's no mistaking Jim Edwards for anyone else.
Yep.
Now, let me point out, you don't have, we pointed out some kind of rough characters here or some rather brash people. One of my friends who does a good, very good job of branding himself on the other side of the spectrum is Terry Dean from terrydean.org. You know, he has, like, a book called Integrity in Business. You know, he's worked with a lot of pastors doing coaching before in churches. You know, Terry's kind of like on that other side of the spectrum, but he's still not afraid to take a controversial stand and to hold his viewpoint and to be strong when he has a conviction about something. But he just does it very differently from some of these other guys. And Terry's branding is different. You know, he's got a picture of him with his dog and so forth. So I think one of the things to pay attention to, though, is how different people who do a good job of it brand themselves and their look. Some people, you know, I'll tell you a guy who's one of my friends who does a great job of it, I think, is Joel Comm. JoelComm. Joel has a unique graphic look that he maintains some consistency with. And, you know, when you go to his websites and you see what he does, it's pretty clear that this is Joel and this is who he is and what he does, and, you know, pretty good branding if you ask me. And I'm not some big, gigantic brander, but I do think that there's a level of it that's important. I might point out that Dan Kennedy is branded. He has the cartoon character of him on the bull. There's a number of elements of branding he uses that are a little bit more subtle. Like, Dan's branding in the past was almost the opposite, like what I call ugly branding, you know. He almost made a point of having ugly materials and ugly graphics, and now that Bill Glazer's taken over, he's changed some of that, and to me, for the better, personally, but it's my style. Now, let's talk about the visitor value. There are a couple things that at the point of purchase, when someone buys from you, you can immediately increase your visitor value by, after the purchase, you offer them another product they can buy. A lot of people are doing this with video now. Whether it's live video or Lee McIntyre's use of Camtasia, I'm probably going to opt for Camtasia too, but I'm trying to figure out how to make mine look different from Lee's, just because, again, I just kind of like trying to maintain that uniqueness, right? But that's very effective. The thing that works the best is what's called one-click upsells, and then also something called forced continuity, but there's a great discussion to be had here. Forced continuity means that you buy the free CD. It's a free CD, but you got to pay the $6 or $7 shipping, and then you also agree to a 30-day trial of a newsletter, and then you're billed thereafter. That can be real dicey as far as your merchant account is concerned, because you can get a lot of complaints if people really and truly don't realize they're going to be charged. Having said that, some form of recurring billing and wrapping it into your sales process is very smart. Very smart to have some upsells, meaning things that are more expensive than initial product purchase, and then downsells, things that, you know, are less expensive. There's a software program called Infusionsoft that does upsells and downsells. There's a thing called UltraCart that can do them, maybe not as well. There's a few technical issues with UltraCart, meaning if they don't click yes or no on the upsells, I believe it can cause the primary order not to process. Having said that, I just read somebody on the Warriors Forum who was real happy with them, so maybe they work fairly good. One shopping cart either has or is coming out with an one-click upsell solution. ClickBank has or is coming out with one. You're going to see one-click upsells more and more and more and more and more. The reason is because they work. If you use any kind of forced continuity, meaning the person has no choice, it's forced, if they want the initial offer, they have no choice but to agree to the 30-day trial or 14-day trial and then recurring billing thereafter. It's called forced continuity. Be careful with that because of your merchant account. Just be careful. Watch it like a hawk. And make sure people know they're going to be billed. And make it easy for them to cancel and not some big ordeal. These things will all add up because if somebody goes and orders your primary product and a certain number order up sells and a certain number order down sells and a certain number get on recurring billing, all of that happened at the one time the customer was most likely to purchase at the time they're purchasing already. That's why this is really a kind of a breakthrough because in direct mail, you really couldn't do this. Now, in infomercials, they've been doing it for years over the phone with upsells and downsells over the phone. But I would say it's easier to do online than it is over the phone because the people are going to get antsy over the phone. So this is really important and powerful and also kind of a pain at this point because the technology is catching up. I might point out also that when everyone starts doing upsells and downsells because the technology is readily available, the effectiveness will go down greatly. So that means you've got to do more split testing and hone and refine your pitch. And again, I know we have one or more new people on the call, and if any of these terms buffalo you or baffle you or you don't know what they are, feel free to ask. These are things that you learn as you go along. Split testing means that you present two or more offers and you test two or more things at a time. Typically, one customer goes and they get one page, next customer gets the next page, next customer gets the next page. The software most people start out with on split testing is Google has a free thing. Google Website Optimizer or something like that. I use a more advanced testing software, uses a highfalutin word called Taguchi, which is the guy that formed the method. The software I use is called Split Test Accelerator, but it's not as cheap and maybe not as easy to use. There's another software called Kaizen, K-A-E-Z-E-N, Track. Split Test Accelerator is just like it sounds, Split Test Accelerator.com.
It's K-A-I-Z-E-N.
Okay, say that again.
K-A-I-Z-E-N, Track.
All right, Kaizen Track, yeah. The Kaizen Track is a little bit more maybe user-friendly than Split Test Accelerator, but the one thing great about Split Test Accelerator, it has the most awesome forum on split testing that exists. Just an unbelievable forum. And the customer support by Jim Stone is flawless, in my opinion. So split testing is how you increase your visitor value. Why is it so important? Because you increase how much money you make at the point of sale. Why does that matter? Because it makes a heck of a big difference in what your affiliates will make when they send you a visitor. In the old days, things were different. People would send us a visitor, we'd make one sale, and then we'd follow up with emails to make additional sales. I think email follow-up is less effective than it used to be, and that's why people have gone to on-the-spot upsells and downsells, because you know once they're out of that buying process, you know, they may or may not get, see, or ever read an email from you again. Do any lights go on with anyone on this? Or is it too far over your head? You're already doing it. You're just starting to do it. You don't know how to do it. Where are you all at this?
I've just started doing this. That's why I knew about the Kaizen Track. You mentioned that on a call. I want to say it was in April.
Yeah, we just got Kaizen Track installed, and I haven't had a chance to test it out yet.
But I think the Split Test Accelerator with Jim Stone, I've heard, you know, he does the Taguchi, which is which was a comment that I made on the blog about a month ago. I couldn't remember how to spell Taguchi. And,
Taguchi, T like T-A-G-U-C-H-I, Taguchi.
So, but that was a good call that you had a month ago. So I decided to take part in that split testing just to see if, and I've also done the, also doing that with the Weber, the Shadow
Guy Weber offers split testing also, and they can also split test your pop-ups. Yeah. Well, let me point out why this is important, why I'm blabbing about it. Friend of mine had a squeeze page, a name squeeze page, a page where you're asking someone to give their name and email address in exchange for a free book, report, ebook, PDF, video, something free. We call that a squeeze page because it squeezed out an email address. Friend of mine was doing one. He basically had one little thing, of which I cannot tell you because it's his trade secret, but he had one little thing he tested that changed the percentage of opt-ins on his page from 20% of the people opting in to 75%. One thing. Now, if I sat on this call and word got around, then it wouldn't work anymore, which is why I can't tell you what that thing was. But that's the point of split testing. Sometimes one small thing that honest to goodness you wouldn't think matters that much really does make a big difference. A lot of times it doesn't. A lot of times it makes no difference. But there are those really rare finds around where something makes a huge difference. More typically, it's a combination of things. The beauty of Taguchi is you can split test like 30, 40, or 50 things all at once. That's why you use what's called the Taguchi method. Who else has a question or a comment on this? Is it over your head? I've lost you. It's kind of old hat by now. You're doing it. Haven't done it. Anyone?
I think this is a great call.
All right.
Comment.
All right. Well, you know, your visitor value is really important, and your split testing is a secret of it. There are secrets and there aren't. And here's what I mean. So, like, my friend has one little change that he made to his page that increases opt-ins to 75%. Now, will those results hold up over time and how long? I don't know. But you see, on the one hand, there's a secret, and on the other hand, there's not a secret. The real secret is not what he discovered. The real secret is whether what he has holds up over time or doesn't. The only way he maintains his edge is by split testing. The only real secret in business is visitor value. Conversions and visitor value, getting new customers, and then how much they're worth to you over time, and how do you get them to be worth more money to you? Well, you can sell them more stuff more often. You can sell them stuff that's more expensive, right? Jay Abraham was right about that one. You know, there's only a couple of ways you build your business. You increase your purchase frequency. You increase the size of the purchase, and you increase how long people purchase from you over time, the retention. So visitor value. Here's the question for you. Here's the rocket science question. What could you do this week to increase the amount of money you make from your visitors? From the people who buy from you. Of your buyers, what could you do within the next, before the next call, next 14 days? What could you do in the next 14 days to make more money at the point of sale from your customers? Does anyone want to speak up on this, of something they know they could do?
Anyone got any ideas? Or you're just clueless?
All right, let's try this. Do any of you have a competitor that makes more money than you do? Oh, yeah, come on. You know the answer to that. On the count of three, if you have a competitor that makes more money than you do, say yes. One, two, three.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Could you go study what your competitors do at the point of sale and come up with some ideas on how, what you could do that would make you more money then?
Yes.
Yes.
Could you study what internet marketing gurus or people who are experts at marketing do at the point of sale and come up with ideas of how you could make more money? Yeah. Now, the technology to implement it is still a work in progress and can kind of suck. If you're on one shopping cart, I believe they have you covered with upsells and with the one-click upsells, I believe. Well, automate your website is my private label of one shopping cart, just for those of you who are on it and you know. Infusionsoft is a fairly big purchase and commitment. UltraCart is a solution we may go to. You need to get what's called a payment gateway to use AuthorizeNet, which either means, like I think, a PayPal Pro, or if you have your own merchant account, AuthorizeNet. ClickBank, I believe, is going to have one-click upsells, but I do not know when. Even if you don't have one-click upsells, though, you could still offer people upsells, even if they're not one-click. So at minimum, you know, you have an extra offer, and you got a yes or a no button that they click, at minimum. And you have two or three of those. You don't want to just kill people at the point of sale, in my opinion, and have a really bad consumer purchase experience. But, you know, two or three is certainly reasonable. Two or three is certainly reasonable.
Wow.
Have any of you recently went through a transaction online where you clicked on some of the one-click upsells or downsells, or you clicked on something, one-click upsell for recurring billing? Anyone that wants to share?
This is Nancy. I haven't done it lately. I have done it in the past, but I haven't done it lately.
All right.
And part of the problem was that
Nancy, do you have a product you're selling yet? Are you at the point of selling yet?
Yes, I've got one product, and I'm, in fact, going to set up an AdWords account and see how I do with that.
Right. You also, yeah, so AdWords is good. It's a learning curve. I've already explained that.
Uh-huh.
As far as learning about AdWords, kind of more advanced methods are John Barker's AdWords Black Book. The great stuff, but more advanced, not definitely not really a beginner's course. Mind Valley Labs had what I thought was a great beginner's course, but I believe it's out of date now because they were talking about using their own proprietary software and Google changed their API and zapped their software. And some of their ideas were maybe a little out of date. Forgive me, guys, I may be wrong, but that's what I understand. That's when I went through the course not too long ago. That's how I saw it. But I still learned a lot from it because it was very systematic. I really don't know of just one really great course with videos on Google AdWords, as unbelievable as that sounds. Now, my dog, Perry Marshall, has the world's greatest ebook, probably. The Definitive Guide to Google AdWords is an awesome product. And he keeps it up to date, pretty up to date. So definitely recommend it. And you'll also want an associate or affiliate program, whether it's through ClickBank or whether it's through whatever, but you want to set one up. All right. Okay, let me tell you a couple ideas of things you can do to increase your customer value. After the initial purchase, you could have an upsell or a downsell. In other words, an upsell is you present an additional product or service and have them click yes or no whether they want it or not. They click yes. Now, if you do not have one-click upsell software, then let me tell you how you do this. They click to order your primary product, and then you present them with the upsell, and then they can click yes or no if they want the upsell. And if they don't want the upsell, then you can present something cheaper they can add on, and they can click yes or no, and then they go to the final checkout. The reason this is not as effective as one-click upsells is because their order has not been processed until after they're done with they've gone through a couple upsell and downsell screens, and they may bail out of the transaction altogether and just not buy. You'll still make more money, though. Alternative two is they buy, then you present your upsell or downsells, but they have to re-enter their credit card or PayPal information. Obviously, less people do this, but more people will do it than if you simply don't offer something else at all. Does not even have to be your own product. It can be an affiliate product. Another way to make more money at the point of sale is to offer a bigger ticket item than the initial sale. Again, if you don't have your own, pitch an affiliate product that pays out a big commission on a high ticket. That's just an irresistible offer, and even throw in some of your own bonuses possibly. And then, of course, there's the one-click upsells or downsells. Then there's offering a recurring billing item is a good way to do it, something that they're billed for monthly. CD of the month, MP3 interview of the month, video tutorials of the month, membership site of the month, whatever. There's 40 million ideas of things to bill for monthly that people have come up with. A tool of the month, reprint right of the month, graphic of the month, design of the month, everything of the month that you can conceive of and more is out there in terms of ideas. So those are a few ideas on how to increase your visitor value. All right. It's 12:04. Before we wrap this call up today, does anyone have any additional insights or comments from what I just talked about, or any insights or comments from the call in general? Anyone new on the call, was this helpful to you or was it over your head? Did I buffalo you or did you track and follow it?
Hi, this is Lucian and Mariana.
Hi, Lucian.
I attracted and followed you. It's somewhat out of my experience, but thank you. It's called stretching exercise.
Well, the split testing is, have you heard, you've heard of split testing before?
Absolutely.
Okay. The split testing is enormously valuable. Just and Google Website Optimizer is free, and they have tutorials on how to use it. And you can be using it within probably 1 to 3 hours. And what you split test on your sales page can be as simple as just different headlines or different pictures, different guarantees, a different offer, you know, what they get if they buy, different bonuses. These things all can have a big impact on conversions. Upsells and downsells are awesome because if the person's buying from you and they already got their credit card out, the highest probability you will ever have that customer buys from you again is right then when they just bought something. So it's just leaving money on the table to not do a really effective job of offering them some other things. By the way,
would you like chrome wheels with your car?
yeah, right, or just all of that stuff that we know to do, but it really just comes down to the focus and spending the time in business, which is sometimes a challenge, no doubt about it. But really it doesn't take that much time, it's just the commitment to do it is what it boils down to. Appreciate you being on the call, and I hope you're on in 2 weeks. who else maybe who's new would like to make a comment or has a question or anything before we wrap this up today? Any other new people? All right. Of the veterans and the people who have been here multiple times, any other questions or comments before we wrap this up today?
This is Nancy. I really appreciate the whole part about, you know, being yourself and using your own voice, not hiding out as someone else or trying to.
Well, it's really important, in my opinion. And a lot of people are screwing up right now because they see product launches being promoted by everyone, which is cool, nothing wrong with it. But then they want to, like, be that person. And it's just really not a good thing to be that person. And it's so obvious that they're trying to be that person because the person's so highly visible. It's just, like, so obvious. Anyone else want to exit with a question or comment today?
Emulation is different than total duplication.
Very true. I appreciate you bringing that up. You can create, you can draw from people. It's just there's this line. It's kind of like an arc. There's a line between when you're trying to be someone and you're being yourself but borrowing an idea from someone. There is. And some people would disagree with me on this. Like, Michael Masterson is really kind of a big fan of copying. He believes in innovation, too, but he really thinks that the best way to get an offer successful, and he may be right, is to go copy what's already working and then just innovate some on it. And he may be right on that fact, but I would kind of emphasize that if you're going to do that, you still need to innovate, or because if you just come across the copy of the other product, the only possible USP you then have is cheaper. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you're being unique. Make sure that you brand your uniqueness and take steps to, like, codify or brand or systematize your uniqueness. And make sure that your customers understand the value in your uniqueness. Don't assume that they understand the value in your uniqueness. You've got to spell it out to them and explain why your uniqueness is valuable to them. Add upsells and downsells if you don't got them, or do things to increase your customer value. Make sure you're offering an affiliate program. And if you can get all of that done in the next 2 weeks, I salute you. In the meantime, hopefully I will be a little bit more recovered before our next call, and I'm looking forward to it. For all of you on this one, I thank you, and I will see all of you in 2 weeks. Bye, everyone.
Thank you, Marlon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.